Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us as we come to you live this and every Sabbath. It's a privilege to be able to share the good news. We are excited about what God is doing, the great work that He is performing in and through us. You know, last night we talked a little about being ready. The question was, are you ready? We're going to take it a little step further today. We're going to talk about the Passover, Easter, the Holy Days, and the blood. But what I wanted to share, because not everyone, it is, by the way, it's recorded. So if anybody would like a link to the message last night, let me know. Because this is not, it's just so much, I'm really a little overwhelmed. And we need to get information out. So those who tune in, they would receive it live. But in Sounds of Revival, which is another teaching we do every Friday evening, starting at 8:30. And we have quite a few people tuning in and stuff like that. They're not the regular folks. But my point, though, is that we covered quite a few things and answered some of the questions folks may have. But I wanted to just touch on something so that we get it clear in our mind. So that's why I said I was going to piggyback and start out some of what I covered last night. In Luke, the 21st chapter, this is almost like a review because we have been there before. 21st chapter, and in verse 36, Jesus has said, "Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which that shall come to pass." So they are going to happen. The only difference is that you and I have the opportunity to escape. And something else, he says, to stand before the Son of Man. Well, the only way you can stand before the Son of Man is if you're ready. So that's part of what I was trying to share, that we need to be ready at all time. That means we have to practice being vigilant. You know, one of the things about the early church is they had the imminency of Christ. Imminence of Christ's return. That was part of their teaching. And if you look at true church history, that has been a very major point of focus. But the point here is that you and I need to be ready. And what really makes us ready? Well, let's begin by the blood of Jesus. What does the song say? Without Him, we can do nothing. Well, that was the beginning. But I wanted to go ahead and just start off by pointing that out, because as we come to the Passover, we begin to see that that is when we really are getting ready. And as we study today, you'll see why I make that statement. Because the Passover is the first of the annual holy days. Well, actually, it's the only one that is not a holy day, so to speak. Because you have to come as you are. It's after you come to Him that you become holy. But I just thought I'd, point this out, because it is necessary that we understand how God had set things up. So in the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, we are all familiar with it. The Lord spoke unto Moses, says, "Speak unto the children of Israel concerning the feasts of the Lord." And so here it is, he's telling people that these are his feasts. Throughout the years, folks have had contention about it. They're nailed to the cross, they're done over it and stuff like that. They're missing the whole point of what is going on. "The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my," notice he said, "my feasts." He says, 6 days shall work be done, the seventh day, the Sabbath, is a holy convocation, you shall do no work therein, it's the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. And he starts off with the weekly Sabbath. Then he says, these are the feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocation, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. And then the first one is the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, or in the evening, as we say in modern language, at even is the Lord's Passover, the 14th day of the first month. Month comes from the word moon. And so you get a moon, new moon every month. That is just, you know, how God set it up. Just like you have 12 noon every day. And so this is what you and I need to be mindful of. The Passover. Now we're going to touch on some things concerning the blood, but I wanted to give you the background. It is imperative that we understand the background of what God is trying to share. The background of why, because he doesn't just send us out and just say, well, go do this. He tells us why. And so, in Matthew, the 15th chapter, I need somebody to help me read. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7 through 9. Can somebody... wait a minute. You know, they're not going to hear you, so because of the microphone I'm using. All right. What we need then, let me go ahead and I'll do it. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, I like for us to become very aware of why we do what we do, because a lot of folks think we are off base, you know. Don't just think other folks, I mean, and some of them call themselves Christians. They believe we get it wrong. Even though what we're doing is based on the Bible and God is backing us up with signs and wonders and healings here and there. But in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 7, he says, you hypocrites, this is Jesus speaking, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near to me, but with their mouth, and honor me, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They draw near to God with their lips, their words, talking, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm going to do what I want. And they draw near to him, talking about him. But in their heart, they are far from him. And so he says in verse 8, verse 9. But in vain, I want you to notice this now, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You want to worship God in vain? What does worshiping God in vain mean? Anyone? A futile effort? Just going through the process? He says, in vain do they worship me. That sounds almost blasphemous. You mean you can worship God in vain? You're going through all this for nothing? You're doing all those things? That's what Jesus is saying. going to church is not the answer then, is it? They need to follow him in their heart first. Do what he says. Let's pick up the book of Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. He said unto them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You think he's really concerned about our heart then? He repeats here. There are a lot of people who are getting ready next week to have sunrise service. They're preparing themselves and they don't do it that much anymore, but there used to be a time where women used to wear some broad hats, some of them in ribbons, and they all dressed up for Easter. Do they realize they're worshiping God in vain? Yes, in his mercy, he don't knock him out. But he's working out a purpose. Thank God he has a plan. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine and commandment of men. Howbeit in vain, verse 7 of Mark chapter 7, they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And verse 8 says, for laying aside the commandments of God. Are they laying aside the commandments of God? Yeah, they tell us it's nailed to the cross. You hold the tradition of men, which is where this thing comes from. And they do things back then, like washing up pots and cups and the way they did it. That was tradition. But my point was that they neglect the plain scripture and make up stuff for their own devices. They bring into what God is doing their viewpoint. That's what I wanted to make sure we get across today, that we don't lose focus. We understand that God desires for you and I to walk in spirit and in truth. Let's go back to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Verse 38 says, certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we want to see a sign from you. You know, this is, by the way, one of the reasons why it is difficult to deal with Jewish people, because they always want to see a sign. And for those who are operating with signs and wonders, they don't have to do much talking. You say, well, you know, because they know Moses. They saw Moses saw things. That's what they're speaking. And so the church need to understand that having power on us, so signs and wonders can be performed, is vital. We're going to throw out some challenges between now and Pentecost because we need to see more. But I want you to understand this. They're asking the question, they're saying to Jesus, we want to see a sign from you. The word that got out, he's the Messiah. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign. What kind of people were they? Evil. Adulterous, they weren't for real. They seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. He gave them a sign, just like we and I have a sign today. Most people ignore it. But the sign of the prophet Jonah, it says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That is the sign. He's going to be in the grave, or as it says here, in the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights. Now, we have some really good friends and relatives who deny that. How do we know? Because they're constantly focusing on Easter. I mean, they even had to it. Now they have Easter ham. But my point is that they're promoting Easter. When I was little, my mom used to tell us, come Easter, you have to go to church early if you want a seat. Because those who never come to church, they're going to be there Easter Sunday. It's a tradition for them. They misunderstand. But here it is. He says the only sign he's going to give that he's our Messiah, he's our Savior, he's going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. All right, let's take it a step further. In the book of John, what we find here is Jesus is speaking, and he makes a statement which I want to draw to your contention. He says in verse 1, all right, let me see, no, 11, chapter, did I say John chapter 11? Yes, it is chapter 11. And verse 9. Jesus is speaking to the Jews and he says, aren't there 12 hours in the day? We know there are 12 hours in a day. But I'm just trying to let you know that Jesus was synchronized with us. If there are 12 hours in a day, then there are also 12 hours in the night. The difference is that they didn't count the hours the way we do. They just call it watch. And they last approximately 3 hours. They use their little hourglass. So you have first watch, second watch, third watch, and fourth watch. All right, so that's how they divided up the night. In Jesus' day, the day starts at sundown and it ends at sunset. Another day starts again. You get the idea? But I wanted to point out, though, that Jesus knows 12 hours for a day. And so when he says 3 days and three nights, he actually meant 3 days and three nights and not 1.5 days. Let's take it a step further. In the book of John, by the way, a lot of this is really review for us, chapter 19, John chapter 19. We're all familiar with these things, so I'm doing it really as a review. But what happened is that Jesus was on the cross, and Jesus, knowing that all things were fulfilled, in other words, he took care of everything. They gave him the vinegar because he said he was thirsty, and he tasted it in verse 29. And then he says in verse 30, it is finished. What is finished? The work, the earthly work. That's what's finished. But verse 31 says something that I want to bring to your attention. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, What I mean by preparation, it is the day before a Sabbath. Because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross. Let's read the whole thing again. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. And notice what it says. For that Sabbath day was a high day. It is not a regular Sabbath. Now, a lot of people misunderstand this because they don't know about the whole annual holy days. And know like first day of unleavened bread is a holy is a Sabbath. And the last day of unleavened bread is a Sabbath. So this coming Thursday is going to be a first day of unleavened bread. That's a Sabbath. The following Wednesday is going to be a last day of unleavened bread. That's a Sabbath also. On Pentecost, Pentecost is always on a Sunday. That's a Sabbath also. Day of Atonement, Feast of Trumpets. Last great day, those are regular, those are annual holy days. So they misunderstood. And so folks get this idea, they say, well, the day before the Sabbath, and then say, assume that it is Friday. Well, they were wrong. Because if it was Friday, and he stayed in the grave Friday night, and then he stayed in the grave Saturday night, and then he stayed in the grave Sunday night. That would be three nights. And yet people say he raised Sunday morning. So obviously, they're counting wrong. That annual Sabbath was the first day of unleavened bread. That's what this is. And folks, because they don't keep the holidays, they misunderstand it. That's how it works. So what happened is that they took him down. They come and they brought up with Pilate. And they said, you know, they sought that, hey, we can't leave him up there. So make sure we kill everybody. Break their leg, that way they die quicker. But when they come to Jesus, they realize he had already died. Why? Because he gave up his life voluntarily, remember? And so they didn't have to break any, and the scripture was fulfilled again there. So the same soldiers, they come and they took them down and buried them. In Jesus' case, they put a hole in his side. We'll talk about that at another time. My point was that there is a holy day coming up, which was the first day of unleavened bread. I want us to go back to chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. I want us to look at some scriptures for just a minute and drill down a little deeper. Because what we find in verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. So he says, at the end of the Sabbath, and behold, there was an earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Did the earthquake happen when they're there? No, it already took place. His countenance was like lightning, it says in verse 3. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. So the angel answered and said, verse 5, unto the women, fear you not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. He didn't say he is rising. He is risen. It happened already. Come look and see where he lay. So the point here is that he has already risen. Now, I want to go back and look at some commentary made by Dr. Spyro Zodiates. He says, let's see, Matthew 28, and verse 1. He said, you can look at Mark 16 and Luke 24 and John 20. All four Gospels essentially agree on in reporting the facts of the resurrection. We're not arguing about the resurrection. We're just talking about what Jesus had promised. He only gave one sign. He's going to be in the grave. 3 days, three nights. Now, Dr. Spyro Zetiates, well, he's no longer alive. I looked it up this morning. He died in 2009. He's, by the way, he does the Key Hebrew Greek Key Study Bible. He is a Greek scholar. He used to broadcast from Tennessee. Chattanooga, Tennessee. We ran across him years ago. He do a lot of great work. He no longer alive, though. But he is well known among the scholars. And so this is his commentary, by the way, I have inside here. And he says, let me make sure I'm reading it clearly. He says, the variety of these details in each account supplement rather than contradict each other. The empty tomb was discovered in the end, used as improper preposition for after of the Sabbath, agreeing with the other evangelists. So the empty tomb was at the end of the Sabbath, or should say, after for after the Sabbath. Anyway, his point was that the way they worded it. By Jewish reckoning, the day ended at sunset and the new day began the same time. Did you hear what I said? The day ends at sunset and it begins same time, sunset. All right, that's a new day, that is. Thus, Saturday night, by our reckoning, was actually Sunday by their calendar. Are you with me? All right. Saturday night, the calendar, we would say Saturday night, that is the first day of the week. See, that's when it, because that's actually when he rose, the end of the Sabbath. And the people are not getting it because they're trying to make it fit to Sunday morning. So he's saying, hey, listen, no, we agree with the Jewish scholars. This Saturday night is the end of the Sabbath, not midnight Saturday, but sundown Saturday evening. See, the Catholic Church changed this. I think it was under Pope Gregory, where the day starts at midnight. Foolish way to do it, but that's what they did. And the Bible prophesied that they would come to change times and laws. Well, they certainly did. And so now people set it so that your clock start, the day start at midnight. A lot of stuff that we change. They came Sunday morning. Let's read the rest of his commentary. Thus, Saturday night, by our reckoning, was actually Sunday by their calendar. According to the resurrection, actually occurred sometime during the night. For by the time the women arrived, as it began to dawn, he actually had already risen. So he's agreeing with us that when they come, he was already risen, and which is what the angel told him. He is risen. Now, he says sometime, you give him a little slack, he says sometime, it's actually happened at the end of the Sabbath. But anyway, sometime Saturday evening, he says on midnight, or in the night, really. That's what he's trying to point out. For by the time the women arrived, it began to dawn. He had already risen from the dead. The earthquake and the angel in white who rolled the stone away did not come to let Jesus out of the tomb, but to reveal that it was empty and that he was already gone. I think that was a good point. They not come to let Jesus out. He already gone. They just want to open it up so that we could see, because they couldn't see in there for themselves. They were saying, who's going to roll the stone away? Well, we don't have to worry about it. They had a earthquake. But the point was that he's gone. So what I'm trying to share is Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night is three nights. Thursday, Friday, Saturday is 3 days. This year is just like that year. This year is very, very unique. This year is just like that year. So what we're going to have is Thursday is the holy day. Then Friday, and then Saturday. Now, because we our weekly Sabbath, we have that's another holy day. But that's the end of the Sabbath. All right. Now, I want us to understand something else also. Because when he took the Passover Tuesday night, then he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. So he left there. They arrest him, remember? And they carry him up and down during that place back and forth between Pilate and Herod. And they tried him and so on. That was all Wednesday. And so by sundown Wednesday, shortly thereafter, is when they actually, shortly before the sundown, they killed him. Actually, the Bible said 9 hours, that's 3 o'clock. That is the time that the tradition has it, well, not tradition, the teachings that Leviticus, where they would offer the Passover lamb. Remember now, you know, they were killing a lot of lambs back then. And so everybody was busy killing lamb, preparing before sundown come, so that they can put the blood on the doorpost. Because you can't do anything after sundown. So this year really is unique. So I just thought I'd go ahead and point that out. But Dr. Spyros Zadiates now, he's a Greek scholar. And by the way, he was a theologian. He writes a lot of books and stuff like that. He was born in 1922. I used to listen to him sometimes. I don't know if they have any recordings on him. I'm sure there is, but I mean, on the internet, I don't know. But he does a lot of studies, and all these commentaries you see here on the pages of my Bible are made by him and his team right here. I'm the old Bible. Dr. Spyros is a key. They do a lot of research in there. I didn't realize. I was just looking at it this morning, and I'm thinking, my Lord, I'm going to have to get back into it. I've had this Bible for years. And they have a lot of studies in here. I mean, a whole lot that I never really looked at, because I use it for the concordance and so on. You know, the concordance, but for example, the list of let me see, the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, and also Let me see, bring up something else. The miracles of Jesus, they're listed here. Prophecy, you know, that he could find. And so here it is. You have a list of them. And I was thinking of making a list one day, and then he just dawned on me. You don't have to make a list. You already have a list. Let's search the scriptures if we find any more. I don't think you miss any, but you get the idea. So there's a lot there for us to study and to drill down. Now, I want to go to the book of Revelation and read that scripture. Then we're going to go back and talk a little more about the blood. As I said, the blood is very, very important. In chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, the very last chapter in the Bible, it says in verse 6, he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophecies of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and behold, and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels, which showed me these things. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, see that you don't do it. Why? Because I'm a fellow servant. So the angel is a servant, that's like we are. Verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. In other words, it's being revealed. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. So he goes on explaining that there's going to come a period of time when God's going to say, well, that's it, no more. Now, I want us to look at verse 12, verse 13. Well, actually, pick up verse 12. Let's go pick up. Behold, I come quickly. This is Jesus speaking. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So you're probably going to get paid. You're going to get your reward. And verse 13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is Jesus speaking. He is what? Alpha and Omega. Yes, sir. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he's letting you know he's everything. Blessed are they, look at verse 14 now, this the writing continues. Blessed are they that do his commandments. You know, there was a gentleman arguing with me some years ago, and he's trying to tell me that you're cursed if you keep the commandments. He actually believed it. He's a deacon in his church. He's telling me I'm cursed if I keep the commandments. But he says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. By keeping the commandments, we have a right to enter into the gates of the city. Can you keep these on your own? No. That's why you need the power of God. For outside or without, it says here, are dogs, and sorcerers, and warmongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever love and make a lie. People who like to take lies. People who like to just tell lies for no reason. They're not going to be in it. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you. That's what Jesus did. He sent his angel to tell John, testify unto you. These things, testify unto you, these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He's telling us clearly who he is. And he's saying, listen, don't hide this. Let the people know. That's what I'm doing. Now, what else you need to know? Because we only have 3 more days for the Passover. I'd like for us to focus on some basic things. You know them already, but it is good that we remind ourselves of them, okay? In the book of Hebrews chapter 9. By the way, give me one thing that the blood of Jesus does for us. Okay. All right, hold a second. It says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. I think that's the last verse. Christ was offered once offered to bear the sins of many. What you just said. And unto them that look for him, remember I said there must be an expectation, anticipation. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time. He's going to appear to us the second time without sin unto salvation. In other words, without our sin. We're going to be sinless when we get translated for him. In other words, we are unto salvation. So he paid that penalty. Now, how do you reckon that this is possible? Again, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus made it possible. Look at Romans chapter 5. I'm leading up to something here, folks. Please don't miss it. Much more than be now justified, verse 9. Much more than be now justified, ladies and gentlemen. Justified how? By his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Because of the blood, we can avoid all the calamity that is coming. And we're going to live with him. Verse 10 says, now, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The life there is more than just breathing. It is the spirit life that you and I get because of this. The Zoe. All right? Let's take it a step further. What else can we say about the blood? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Because we're everything we do is in Jesus. We are all others in him. Either he is in us or we are in him. And so in whom we have redemption through the blood. Again, the blood. We have redemption. We have to emphasize this because this is what you need to know. When you're up against the enemy, And listen to me, don't think he's a run over, you know. He's been around a long time. He fooled a lot of people. He destroyed a lot of people. So they don't think he's no cheapskate. You better come prepared. You better be prayed up. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. You'll struggle. You can live. Listen, you can work your whole life and never have nothing. You can struggle. A lot of Christians are struggling because they don't know the power of the blood. That's what gives you access so that you can overcome him. That's what we're celebrating. That power. You want healing? That's it. It comes through the blood. Because of the blood of Jesus that was shed. Now the mechanism is a little complex there. A lot of people miss that. Where, you know, because of the stripes which he took. But because of those stripes, they took his blood. But that's what made it possible. So you now have access to come and make your request. You have somebody, a judgment been ruled, but you haven't received, you go to the judge or you get your lawyer and say, go make a petition to the judge on my behalf that they grant me so and so. You have access. What gives you us access? The blood of Jesus. So we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Satan, remember this, folks, because he's always trying to tell us that we don't have redemption. When you pray and Satan the devil or his friends come through, you know, the devil come through your friends sometime or even relatives, they try to tell you that God is not going to answer your prayers. They got it wrong. But we have redemption in the blood. Therefore, we don't have to worry. We have access. So you can tell him when you say, oh, he's not going to heal you. He's not going to do this. Go away, Satan. I have redemption in the blood. Speak back to him. According to the riches of his grace. Now, a lot of people expect to receive without actually performing. That's part of the problem. All right, so remember now the power of the blood. You know, the pagans, people are really serious, them demon-oriented pagans. They know there's something about blood. That's why they're always killing chickens. That's why they're always killing goats. That's the whole idea behind what they're doing. Because they know that there's something about blood. You have to appease the demons because they are here, I should say, emulating what they see Jesus did. But in so doing, they corrupt us because we don't need to offer blood anymore. Jesus came and did it once and for all. We read that earlier. So I just want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, no. There is power in the blood, and we're not talking about just any blood, but the blood of Jesus. Times are going to get tough. You hear about it. You hear about the beast power going to be on the scene. Well, guess what? We ain't scared. Revelation chapter 12. Describes to you what I'm talking about. Verse 11 of Revelation 12 says, they overcame him. Speaking of us, we're going to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Who is that Lamb again? Jesus. And by the word of their testimony. See, you're going to have something to back it up. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the blood. In other words, So that's what gives you the confidence. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And the end result is that they loved not their life unto death because they were bold as lions. I missed something. Let's go back on Ephesians chapter 2. I want to make sure you get out. Folks, I just want to give you enough ammunition so when the enemy come against you, you can fight him off. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Because listen, you're going to stand boldly. He said, the time you were without Christ. That's how we used to be before we came to Jesus. We were without Christ. Just like these people, the Ephesians. Being alien from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers to it. Folks who weren't born in Jamaica are not part of the British Commonwealth. They are alien from the commonwealth. Well, before we came to Jesus, we were alien from the commonwealth of the blood of Jesus. Strangers from that covenant. What represents the covenant again? The blood. The blood. The covenant. It's a covenant of promise. He's going to give us eternal life. He's going to give us some more things and so on. Well, they used to be strangers and so were we, strangers from it. Having no hope without God in the world. Now, let me tell you something. There are a lot of countries out there that you want to help. A lot of people out of the world you want to help. I hate to tell you that without Jesus, you can't help them. Without Jesus, they won't get no help. They are without hope. I don't care whether they were made in the image of God. I'm saying they are without hope. Are they going to go to hell? No. God is going to deal with them at a later date. But without Jesus, they are without hope. That's what it is saying here. And that's how things used to be with us too. But now that we are in Christ, guess what? Now when they come in Christ, those who were far off are made near. Those who are without and now have. They were drawn close by the blood. Verse 13. By the blood of Jesus. I'm making a list of things about the blood, ladies and gentlemen. I'll pass it on to those who have a desire. Just let me know. A lot that we need to know. Let me see. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Did I touch on this right here? Where's my page? Stick together. Let me see. Am I giving you the right scriptures? I'm not right about this. That is chapter. How did I get that there? And typo. All right. 13. Adversary suffered. Get it. Chapter 10. You don't want to type these things when you're tired. And verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And he's talking about the that's chapter 9:20. What is it? Did I go to Tinger? 9:23. All right. Actually, it's 9:23. Chapter 9, verse 23. I don't know how I managed to type it like that. And that was corrupted. It took, as I had it correct before. 9 and verse 23. Started verse 22. Almost all things are by the blood purged. Let me rephrase. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. We are familiar with this. Remember I was saying that even the pagan people, they understand something about blood. The only difference, the only blood that gives us the righteousness is Jesus' blood, all right? So verse 23 says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of these things should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves better sacrificed than these, than the physical one we have here on earth. And what is the heavenly one? That is what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. Are we together, folks? I'm just going to mention it in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. In fact, let's touch on it. Let's just go right there and read it. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Why did God use blood? Because the way he set it up, your life is sustained by the blood. Your blood leak out, your life is gone. Very important. So God is using some, what I call, applicable tool to make it clear to us. I have given it that you to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that make an atonement for the soul. Remember that. It was the blood. That was the blood of Jesus that made it possible. And so what I am trying to share, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you and I come now with the understanding, recognizing that we are washed in the blood, we couldn't care less what Satan the devil think. He's no match for us. We can outmaneuver him any day. Folks, listen, let me tell you something. There's a lot of stuff that the enemy is trying. But unless you understand the value of the blood, unless you understand how things run with regards to the blood, unless you understand, you know, what God has in store for us because of the blood, the enemy will outmaneuver you. He will trick you. He will con you. He will talk you out of your blessings. He will talk you out of your deliverance. Without the blood, you cannot come into his presence. You have to be able to come into his presence. Chapter 10, verse 19. We enter into the Holy of Holies. In fact, I didn't read that, did I? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. I didn't read that. Let's go ahead and read it. But my point is, ladies and gentlemen, when we understand the magnitude of what God has made available to us because of having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood, by the blood of Jesus. What is the holiest again? that is in the inner court, where it is in his courtroom chamber. When the judge said, meet me in my chamber, that's where he make final decision. Nobody overruled that. Nobody overruled the God of the universe. He said, meet me there. When you meet there, and not everybody can enter, you got to be washed in his blood. And then when you go there and he hears your petition, you make your request and he grants you. Well, how do you have access? By the blood. Having therefore boldness, enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There it is, verse 19. It's a new and living way. It's not the same old way, ladies and gentlemen. It's a new and living way. He had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his body. Veil back then was the curtain that blocked them from going inside there. Don't go in there. You can't go in, otherwise you get killed. No, he just turned on the curtain and said, come on in. A new and living way. And the end result is that you can go there and make your petition. What made it possible again? The blood of Jesus. Folks, we're going to take on some more tasks this year. We can't do it in our own strength. We need Jesus. We need the blood of Jesus to wash us clean, keep us that way, sanctify, in other words, cleanse us. We need to keep that in mind. Yes, we need to be cleansed. 1 John 1:7. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then the enemy don't have no say-so, because he always want to run, come, you know. So-and-so doing this, so-and-so doing that. No, you go ahead, you cleanse by the blood. And then you have access. We'll talk more about this, because I want us to have breakthrough this year. I want to hear testimonies of what God has been doing in your life. And we'll share with you what God has been doing on our side. But I just thought I'd go ahead and point these things out today. About Passover, Easter, Holy Days, and the blood. All right, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson.